My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay, you can do better, right? So let's try it again, okay? Shake it off. Forget what just happened. We'll do it again. Merry Christmas, everybody. That's awesome. Now we're going to go caroling. Now, if you have not been with us for the last couple of Sundays, we've been in a series of messages called Who Needs Christmas? And before we get started, I just wanted to give you a couple of really, really quick announcements. If you have a cell phone, preferably a smartphone, please take it out. You can bring it out if you would like. We would love for you to like us on Facebook and rate us on Facebook if you have never, ever done that before. People all over Clarksville, the 150,000 plus people here in the great city of Clarksville in the Fort Campbell area, a lot of them, only 10%, as reports say, actually go to church. And the ones that do decide to come to church, they're going to go to something like Facebook, and they're going to see what people just like you think about a place just like this. So we would love for you to take a few moments and rate us on Facebook, like us, follow us on Instagram if you have one of those accounts. And also the other little announcement that we're going to do is on Christmas Eve, which is coming up quick. Isn't that amazing? Christmas Eve. We're going to have two services in the morning. We're going to have a 9 a.m. and we're going to have an 11 a.m. And then we're also going to have one in the evening at 6 p.m. in the evening. And that is going to be the beginning, starting on Christmas Eve on Sunday mornings. We're going to have two services. So we've been really spread out. We've got the three services. We're going to have a 9 o'clock, so you guys don't have to do anything at all. And we're going to have an 11 o'clock service for all of us to be together. So if you've got your phone open, you can also go to your Bible, or if you've got a real Bible, we still accept those here at Bethel Community Church. Anybody still got books? Books are good things. We're going to look at John chapter 10. We're hopefully going to take a look at Jesus today in a way maybe you haven't thought about when it comes to the Christmas story or the birth of Christ. But we're going to start off taking a look at John chapter 10, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. John chapter 10, verse 10. If you are taking notes, I took a lot of notes preparing for this message. It's going to be really, it was good for me. I don't know what it's going to do for you, but I think it would be a great opportunity for you to take a few notes. So in John chapter 10, verse 10, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." But Jesus, these are Jesus's words. He said, "I have come," or you could say, "I was born that we may have life." And he's talking to us, that we may have life and that we may have it abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. There is a difference between just existing and truly living. Most of us exist, but not all of us are truly living a full life. Lord Jesus, we just thank you today, God, that you will show us through your word what the abundant life is like. And I pray for all of my friends, God, those who have been craving real life, those who have been craving to be more than just existing, but to really embrace a full life. I pray, God, that it would be given to them. Father, I even pray today that those who don't know you would find you today, God, and you would be exalted. The name of Jesus would be glorified. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. See, Jesus came to give us life, and he said that we would have it more abundantly. When we read in the Bible, and the Bible's talking about this word having abundant life, and we would live abundantly, that word means over and above. It means more than what is necessary. It means super added. It means exceedingly abundantly, much more than all others. It means extraordinary kind of life, a surpassing life, an uncommon life, a more remarkable kind of life, a more excellent kind of life. It means absolute fullness of life. How many people want to live a life like that? See, the problem is that many of us, we do not. We search our entire lives to have a life like that. We will work like a dog so we can have the fullness of what we think life is about, an abundant life and a full life, really a life without problems. You know, one of the things that I really researched when I was preparing for this message is there are a lot of explorers throughout history who tried to find the abundant life. They would cross the world in the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. You like that? Ta-dum-tum. You guys are smart. And I studied the life of Juan Ponce de Leon. He was actually lived in the 1500s. Around 1513, he was on the second trip that Christopher Columbus actually went to the New World on, and he's known as the very first governor of Puerto Rico. And legend tells us that he is the, and actually, I guess this is actual history, but he actually found Florida. The first European explorer to discover Florida. But the legend is that he was looking for Florida because he was trying to find the fountain of youth. Anybody ever heard of that today? The fountain of youth was this mysterious body of water that if you drank from the fountain of youth, it would restore your youth. Age would be reversed. Sickness would be eliminated. And some even say that life would never end for you. And so all through history, there have been people that tried to find the fountain of youth. Alexander the Great, Ponce de Leon. There's even reports that Hitler was looking for this mysterious water, this mysterious life-giving water that would satisfy our hunger for more of life. Now, this week I was talking one morning before breakfast with my baby girl, Bailey. She said, "Daddy, I want something that will satisfy my hunger." I was like, that's a big word for a seven-year-old. And I said, "Sweetie," I try to, you know, I'm a pastor, so I got to say all kinds of religious stuff. I said, "Bailey, Jesus is the only thing that will truly satisfy your hunger." And she said, "Yeah, but I'm still hungry." You know, we have all sought something that would fulfill us, something that would truly satisfy us, something for many of us we have been giving our all into. Maybe it's a relationship. You try to give your all into it, hoping that you would reap the rewards of that and it would bring you satisfaction in life and fullness in life. For other people, it's been a job. You've worked like a dog for a business or the army, and you're hoping that maybe if I get this rank or that promotion or if I make this bigger, better deal, then I can have what I want and I'll finally reach the apex of my career. And I can look on top of my career after many years and have satisfaction. For many of you, it's a family or it's money. But the problem with all of these things is they can only take us so far. Can someone say amen to that? And they will always, at some point, let us down. As long as we continue to seek for that which is limited, we will be unsatisfied. See, some people feel like they're stuck in a dead-end job or a dead-end marriage or dead-end relationship. And most people never find what they are looking for. They're always just left wanting more. And one relationship leads to another, and it's depressing, and it's life-draining, and it's not life-giving. And even people in church, we know that Jesus is the reason for the season, but yet and still we continue to put our hope and our aspirations and other things, hoping that one day I'll have the peace and satisfaction that we want. And we've heard the gospel, and we've been to church, but yet we still put hope in all these other things that end up leaving us wanting more. When I was in college, I used to have my fair share of partying, Pastor Lance. And my life was like a bucket with a hole in it. I tried to fill that bucket with partying and drinking and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it felt really good in the beginning. Man, my bucket was full. And then, just like a bucket with a hole in it, it would continually go away and nothing would sustain me. I always had to have more. It's like a plate of Oreos. Sounds really good right now, right? I always want one more, don't we? It's like you always want one more potato chip. It's amazing how everything in this life is really set up to never really satisfy the cravings that we have. It's kind of like a rat race, if you've ever heard that term. A rat race is an endless, self-defeating, and pointless pursuit. But I've got a question for you. What if you could find that thing you've been looking for? What if you could find that thing that would really satisfy you? What if you could find that thing that would fill your bucket up and it would never run dry? What if all the people in the world could never bring you that satisfaction, that joy that you're looking for? But what if I told you that such a treasure, it really existed? What if the fullness of life, the thing that you have been desiring for, the thing that would bring you significance and purpose and joy and life, what if that could be found? That'd be pretty important, wouldn't it? Be pretty priceless, too. What if the desires that you have looked for in other places could not be met except for in one particular place? What would you do in the presence of the person who could give you the fullness of life? Now, this is where we get back into our Christmas story. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about these men. They have many names. Some people call them Magi. Some people call them the wise man. Some people have called them the three kings. They're known to come from the east, probably thousands of miles away from Bethlehem, Nazareth, Jerusalem, anywhere in Israel, thousands of miles away. But yet something happened. They decided that they would travel. And back then they didn't have a high-speed train. They didn't have cars. They probably rode by camel, most likely. And if you can imagine going from somewhere like New York City to LA on a camel, that is not fun. No hotels, no showers probably. You're going over desert. You're going over extremely rough terrain. But you believe that what you have seen in the sky could be the thing you may have been looking for your entire life. And they thought it was worthy to go and investigate and to find this thing. Now think about this. They probably spent tons of money. It's not cheap to travel. It's not cheap now. Definitely wasn't cheap back then. And we find out in Matthew chapter 2 that they came to Israel. And it says it kind of like this in verse 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews?'" Now again, these were men who were not Jewish, which is a great picture of the gospel that Gentiles, non-believers at that time in Jehovah God, sought after Jesus, which is a predecessor to us having a need for Christ ourselves. It says, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, it's very interesting. Worship to an Easterner, someone from Persia, where many people say these men were from, was a different kind of worship than what you may see on a Sunday morning. Not to say it has to be. But the type of worship that that word connotes in this particular scripture is what Persians would do when they would worship. They would fall upon their knees and touch the ground with their foreheads as an expression of profound reverence. So there was this anticipation that what they were going to see was a king that, even though they were not from his kingdom, they had this inner knowing that there is something to be reverenced with this particular king. Something that they would be willing to travel. They would be given to give money. They would begin to go on a camel for thousands and thousands of miles just to reach him. And it says in Matthew chapter 2, a little bit later in verse 9, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. When they saw the star, it says they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I don't know the last time you got exceedingly great joy in your life. Maybe 1999 when the Titans were about that far away from getting a touchdown. Maybe you just got that big promotion, you had some joy, but it wasn't sustaining, was it? Whatever it was, it made you really, really happy. It wasn't enough to keep you in that moment before that moment passed and something else happened. But the word says that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And here is the apex. What they had traveled thousands of miles to do, here's the moment when they actually put their desire into action. It says they fell down and they worshiped him. So there must have been something exceedingly great about Jesus. It's not like they got to the manger and said, well, is this it? Thought he'd be longer, thought he'd weigh more. No. They had this profound understanding that what was in front of them was something of great beauty, something of great significance, and something of great value. And it says they had opened their treasure, and they had opened their treasures, and they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's three things that I believe that the kings or the magi or the wise men, they got out of this encounter with Christ. The first thing is that, number one, Jesus can be found. Jesus can be found. See, maybe you've been looking for something and you didn't know what it was. The old song, maybe you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong. See, that thing that has escaped you, the thing that has eluded you, it can be found. See, I love that our God is a God who can be sought after. He can be found. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek him. You can find him. It also tells he is real. Our God is not dead. He is not distant. He is near. You can reach him by seeking after him with your whole heart and your life, no matter where you are, what you've done. No matter what sin and entanglement that you found yourself in, no matter what unforgiveness and bitterness lies in your heart, no matter how many people's lives you have messed up, Jesus can be found. The second thing is Jesus is the greatest pursuit of your life. Jesus, the pursuit of Christ, is the greatest thing you could aspire for in your life. The Bible says that these wise men, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. See, the pursuit of Christ for us, that's simply another word for discipleship. It's the word that means to follow Christ. Like these men from the east, they followed the star. See, we follow Christ. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. What we do in this spiritual family is we do things together to follow Christ. We join community groups. We go to Starting Point to help us to follow Christ. This one who was born, the greatest treasure the world has ever known, is so great, so amazing that we have to follow him, his ways. And we do that in the context of spiritual family. And the third thing is that Jesus, I love this, Jesus can satisfy what your heart truly craves. See, I believe there's, I know this is true for me, maybe it's true for you, but throughout my life, there was this God-shaped hole in my soul. And everything that I tried to do could never fill it. And I tried a lot. I tried clubs. I tried education. I tried money. And I had all that stuff. And it kept me empty on the inside. I beg to believe that all of us in this room have had this hole in our heart, and you have tried to fill it with something. My children try to fill it with Legos. They can never have enough. Amen. And maybe you've got a hole in your heart, in your soul, and you can't figure it out. And no matter what you've done, you've tried the religious thing. You've jumped through the religious hoops. You've made it past the religious obstacles. You're in church. You should be on Easy Street. But even still, you have found yourself still not fully satisfied. You may have a smile on your face on Monday, but in your core, you still feel there's something lacking. Now I'm telling you today, that is a God-shaped hole that only Jesus Christ Himself can fill. And maybe you're saying, here I am a Christian today, but I still feel not satisfied. Well, I'm telling you today, you need to look at Jesus a different way. Because I can tell you, those wise men, when they saw Jesus, they were dumbfounded. They worshiped Him in the Eastern form of worship. Think about a grown man who would spend his resources, his time, his energy, take off work to travel to see a baby in worship. I dare say that they probably saw Jesus a little bit differently than the way we see Jesus in good old Clarksville, USA. He wasn't just some guy who came and really, really liked us, and we were in sin, and He died on the cross for us, yes. But that's not the only reason why He came. The Bible says He came that we might have life, and life abundantly. If you're not living the abundant life, my suggestion is look again at Jesus. Look at Him with fresh eyes. Matter of fact, right now, just take your hands, just humor me. This is symbolic. Take your hands and put them over your eyes. No peeking. That's what my children do. And I want to pray, and I want you to pray with me. All of us need to do. I need to do this. We need to ask that God would give us fresh eyes to see Jesus the way He was supposed to be seen, the way He should be seen. So, Lord Jesus, we pray right now. You would open our eyes to see You as You truly are, not just as Savior. And we thank You that by Your blood, You have saved us. We thank You that You are not just a king, but You are the King of all things, one to be sought after, one to be treasured, one to be revered. Lord, we pray, God, that we would not take for granted the gift of salvation. We would not take for granted the birth of Christ. And Lord, the things that we have sought after in our life that have kept us wanting more, God, we repent for creating idols of those things. We repent from placing those things and trying to jar them into our heart where only You belong. Father, we pray today, God, that You would give us those fresh eyes to worship You in the way that You truly desire to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know it. Big question is, who needs Jesus? Miss Jane, you can come up. Can you help her, Dave? Who needs Christmas anyway? The reality is we all do. We all have a place of deep desires, deep longings to be loved, to be fulfilled. It's only in Christ where we can find wholeness. See, I'm a firm believer that church should not just be a routine. It can be like that if you make it like that. Or every single Sunday can be life-changing. It's like in football, they used to say, any given Sunday, even the worst team can win. And I'm telling you this morning, any given Sunday when you walk through the doors with God's people, there is a mixture of an interesting thing. There is a mixture of faith, and there is a mixture of circumstances and obstacles. There's a convoluted twist of sins and opportunities for a holy God to interject himself into your life. But he is a very patient God. Many people have said that the Holy Spirit is much like a gentleman, and he will not kick in doors that he is not invited in. Now I'm telling you today, if you invite Jesus into those places, into your life, even those secret, hidden places where only he really knows, he can satisfy the longing of your heart. I don't care what it is. If it's a pornography issue, if it's a secret hidden desire, if it's a jealousy problem, if it's a fantasy problem, no matter what it is that you have tried to fill in that hole in your soul. It's like that old saying, a round peg can't fit in a square hole. And only God can fill your deepest needs. Maybe you're here today and you're just not right with God. I could say it a lot of interesting theological ways to say that, but I'm from Tennessee. We keep things simple. If you're not right with God, I believe that today is a day where that changes. You know in your heart, you know in your soul, me and God are not right. You have tried to fill again and again and again that hole with different things. I believe today is sort of like a day of reckoning. It's kind of like schoolyard bullies. They make a line in the sand and say, don't cross it. Today, I believe God is making a line in the sand for you. On one side of that line is the old you, the old life. You did your thing. You tried it out. You tried to fill over and over again. Doesn't matter if you've been in church or not. If you're on that side of the line, there is a vast separation between you and God. And on this side of the line, there is a Father whose arms are open wide. He will not leave you. He will not turn away from you. He is waiting for you to stop trying to do better, to stop trying to be a good person. But instead, he's waiting for you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and realize that your maker, your designer, realized that you would have a need that you could not meet in yourself. And while you were in your sin, Christ was sent to show you the love, the grace, the mercy of God, to wipe your sin away, that you could be forgiven, so that you could have a relationship with God and that you could have an abundancy of life. If that's you today, I just want to pray for you. Raise your hands if that's you. You're not right with God. One, There's more. You just know you're not right with him. Okay, thank you. Today is the day. Your hand is symbolic that I'm not going to fight against God any longer. Your hand is symbolic that the jig is up. Your hand is symbolic that you are crossing the line. Today is the day where you begin to walk in complete humility before an almighty God. So, Father, I pray for my friends. I pray that the fullness of joy would come. Lord, I pray that that which has eluded and escaped them, today is the day that they find it. And just as the wise men from the east, they came and beheld Jesus for the first time. They bowed and they worshiped. And they gave all they had after they had traveled. I pray that my friends would in like ways worship Jesus with the rest of their life. In Jesus' name.